A study which suggests that vitamin D supplements might help children and adults with mild to moderate asthma. On the line from London is one of our authors, Dr. Chris Cates from St. George's Hospital. Welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you.
What did you do in this study?
Well, we set out to try and answer the question, in people with asthma, if you give extra vitamin D, does it help their asthma? That was what we were seeking to do.
And there have been lots of pity little trials and nothing very conclusive from what I can see.
That's right. We found a lot of small trials in children and two larger trials in adults, reasonable size, one from the States, one from the UK. But none of the individual trials by themselves was big enough to give a clear answer to the question. So as each one was published, it was disappointing.
So you did what's called a systematic review where you brought it all together?
That's right. That's right. We looked for all the trial evidence we could find and we combined it together. And from our point of view, the rather exciting and slightly unexpected thing was that we found that when we put them all together, then there was enough information to show that the vitamin D did make a difference, particularly to those people who get asthma attacks, either bad ones ending up in hospital or not quite so bad ones needing courses of oral steroid treatment.
To what extent did it help those what's called acute exacerbations?
Well, when we looked at the two larger adult studies, that's where the best evidence is. I should say at this point, there are a lot of small studies in children, but really not enough evidence to know whether vitamin D is helpful in children or not. We have to say that we don't know that yet. But from the two large studies, they found that the rate of asthma attacks roughly halved, really, which is a good benefit.
And it's in people with mild to moderate asthma, not severe asthma.
That's right. That's right. We don't have evidence from severe asthmatics. These are mild to moderate asthma, and they were all taking regular inhaled corticosteroids to control their asthma and the symptoms.
So just to explain, if you've got really, really mild asthma, all you need occasionally is a bit of a puff from the blue puffer to relieve it.
Yep.
But if you get anything worse than that, you really need to be on a preventer, which is oral inhaled steroids to keep the asthma at bay.
That's right. That's right. And all these patients were taking their inhaled steroids for that purpose.
So did it only benefit people who had low vitamin D levels to start with?
Well, yes. It depends what you mean by low vitamin D levels. It isn't entirely clear how low is low. In the London study, they just took everybody from London who
so it was all comers.
It was all comers. In the US study, they took people who had a starting level of below 75 nanograms per mole, which is 75 nanomoles per litre or 30 nanograms per litre. So they took people who they said were lower than they'd like. Having said that, probably 50 is the level that people would now regard as wanting something done for.
But I presume you're not advocating doing vitamin D levels in everybody with asthma?
No, we're not.
But you have to say, these are people in London and in high northern altitudes rather than perhaps Brisbane or Cairns, where they might have have better vitamin D levels to start with.
Absolutely. And most of Australia is above the 35 degree level or 34 degree level, which is thought to be a cut point. So really, all of New Zealand and perhaps the southern tip of Australia would be in an area where vitamin D might be a bit low, but less applicable to the rest of Australia.
And and the dose is pretty open to what dose you should be on.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, these weren't sort of over-the-counter supplement level doses. These were quite big doses. And across the studies, they varied from small to quite large. But the two big studies used doses which would be about 10 times what you'd get in a calcium and vitamin D supplement tablet, which you might be taking for...
So it's a feral dose. If this effect is real... Why was there no effect on day-to-day asthma symptoms Or lung function. You'd expect it to have that effect, and it makes you suspicious.
Well, it's a good question, but I think the theory is that the way the vitamin D might be working is to help the immune system when we're facing viruses and bacteria and infections. And there, in some people, are the main, or can be, the main triggers of asthma attacks. So day to day, if you haven't got an infection, it might not be making a lot of difference. But when the time comes that you are facing an infection, perhaps if you've got a better vitamin D level, that gives you more to fight it off with, and less likely to pull your asthma down.
Now, I'm talking to Christopher Cates of St George's Hospital in London. And Chris, there's a Cates plot which you invented, which gives you an idea of what the benefit would be for individuals, sort of kind of the absolute benefit for you.
That's right. That's right.
And we'll show this on our website so that you can come in and look at it.
Okay. Yes, this is a picture, a coloured picture, to try and explain for people how much difference is this actually making. Because you say, okay, it halves your rate of asthma attacks, but halving your rate depends on what it was in the first place. So what the Cates plot shows is 100 people who could all be given vitamin D. And the bottom line is that in these trials over about 8 months, in terms of ending up in hospital, the group that were not having vitamin D, about 6 of them would have been having to have a visit to hospital for their asthma. And if they all had the vitamin D, then that would drop to about 3. So 6 per 100 becomes 3 per 100.
So
but you have to give the treatment to all 100, because you don't know which the 3 are. That's the catch in all these things. We don't know which.
So a lot of people are treated for a relatively small benefit.
That's right. That's right. In terms of hospital admission, in terms of milder flare-ups, well, then the number goes from 29 without the treatment down to 18. So in that case, 11 out of every 100 benefit. But it's still it's still a lot of people having to take it for some to benefit.
And and as I said, that will be on our website. Chris, we've run out of time, but thank you very much for joining us on the Health Report.
Not at all. It's a great pleasure.
Chris Cates, who's a senior clinical research fellow in the Population Health Research Institute at St George's in London. And you're listening to The Health Report here on Radio National, on ABC News Radio and CBC Radio across Canada with me, Norman Swan.